This is WHYY's Morning Edition. Good morning. I'm Jennifer Lynn. At home, at school, in the neighborhood, WHYY is asking children, parents, and experts what kids need to be healthy, and we're sending reporters out to cover modern kids better. About 1 in 10 children experiences sexual abuse before the age of 18. That is according to the organization Darkness to Light. But experts say adults can intervene to prevent abuse. Looking for the right signs is key. For WHYY, Angela Gervasi has more.
When former Penn State assistant football coach Jerry Sandusky was arrested on charges of child sexual abuse, the case sent shockwaves nationwide. As witness after witness testified, a pattern became clear. The children had known Sandusky for years. That is more common than you might think. Sexual abuse by a relative, friend, or acquaintance is actually the norm, according to prevention experts like Mandy Mundy.
The statistics range that children are sexually abused by somebody they know between 85 to 93% of the time, depending on the
Mundy works for NOVA, or Network of Victim Assistance. It's a nonprofit in Bucks County that works to prevent sexual assault. Marie Fordney is the executive director of the Southern Arizona Children's Advocacy Center in Tucson. She puts it like this.
They're not going to be, you know, a creepy guy with, you know, an ugly mustache and bad glasses. They're going to be people that they want you to trust them, and so you might trust them.
For decades, public safety campaigns warn children to stay away from strangers. Strangers can pose a threat, Mundy says, but
if we hold on to the stranger danger myth, and associated with child sexual assault, then we're overlooking the children who are being abused by the people in their own family, in their own neighborhood, in their own school, in their own circle.
The Stranger Danger campaign started in the 1960s, and it put a lot of responsibility on children. Kids were told to shout no and run away from the quintessential stranger offering candy. In reality, kids usually can't run away and tell someone.
A lot of times, kids are scared. They've been told, don't you tell anybody.
Listening to what a child does say can be a huge help in detecting abuse, according to Mundy and Fordney. If a child knows a surprising amount of sexual terminology for his age, ask how. Or if a child doesn't like visiting the house of a relative, that could be a red flag.
They might start to protest to going to see that person. I don't want to go to Aunt Teresa's house.
Fordney says it's crucial to look for behavioral changes. Is the child having nightmares? Does she startle easily? Does he ask for help in things he normally does independently, like getting dressed?
And really, you're looking for any kind of change. Depression can manifest as sadness, but it could also manifest as, wow, they're suddenly taking so much better care of their appearance.
Often, abusers work to gain the trust of children and entire communities. They'll buy the child gifts, isolate the child, and then start to push the boundaries of touching. It's called grooming.
And what we're learning through things like Penn State or the Archdiocese or, you know, Boy Scouts, any of it, somebody who is sexually abusing kids works very slowly in that direction. They don't
consider the Sandusky case. He bought clothes, shoes, even a drum set for the young boys he abused. He took them to Penn State football games. The signs of grooming can be subtle, Fordney says. But if something seems almost like a date between the child and the adult,
that should send off red flags and alarms. It's perfectly normal for, say, a dad to take his daughter to the movies, you know, buy her popcorn, treat her like a princess, but taking her to the mall and holding hands and offering to buy her, gosh, do you need a bra now?
If you're unsure whether someone is attempting to groom your child, Fordney suggests you accompany them. Don't leave the child alone with the adult.
Better to be discourteous than to be a victim.
And if you're not a parent or guardian, you still may be a mandated reporter, someone required by state law to report any suspicion of child sexual abuse. In Pennsylvania, for example, mandated reporters include teachers, volunteers, librarians.
Your role is to suspect child abuse is occurring, and if you have a reasonable cause to suspect, you're required to report that.
Before Sandusky's conviction in 2012, mandated reporters in Pennsylvania reported directly to their supervisors. Multiple Penn State employees did report their suspicions of Sandusky, starting in 2000. But those initial suspicions didn't reach investigators. The abuse continued for years. Now, mandated reporters must share their suspicions directly with the Department of Public Welfare. The Sandusky case illustrated what can happen when abusers get the benefit of the doubt.
And if a mandate reporter hesitates, pauses, waits for a minute, for a day, for a week, for a month, for a year, ultimately, the child's health is being compromised.
For WHYY News, Angela Gervasi.